Thank God for green lights. Y'all like green lights? They're much better than red lights, aren't they? So, yeah, I saw that green light come on. So we're good, good. So how many of y'all are blessed tonight? Y'all came expecting tonight, and isn't it great to come on a Wednesday night and just get in the presence of God, and just it's just such a great time in a midweek service to come before the Lord. And so let's just go ahead and just pray tonight for the rest of our service and go before the Lord. So everybody just lift up your hands if you would. And so, Father God, we just come before you. We thank you for this Wednesday night. We thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Lord, we just put the rest of this service in your hands. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to our hearts and give us a word. Give us a word that we can hang on to tonight, a rhema word. Speak to us tonight, Father. We just thank you for your word. You sent your word and it healed us. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light into our path. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that illuminates your word. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a great time yesterday morning. How many of y'all were here Tuesday morning? All right. And so I shared a number of different things. And for those of you that weren't here, hey, we're glad that you're here tonight. So tonight I'm going to share a couple of things that God is doing around the world. And how many of y'all like to know what God's doing? All right. So I'm going to give you the real news, not the fake news.
Amen.
All right. So if you have your Bible, though, go in your Bible to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 11 and also Luke chapter 19. And so as you're turning there, some of you may know that about 5 years ago, the Lord changed the direction of our ministry. We've been traveling and going into different nations, about 60 nations now over the years. But about 5 years ago, the Lord changed our assignment to reach the Muslim world. And I tell you what, it's been an amazing ride. It's been things that I have been able to see and understand about the Muslims in the Middle East and what God's plan is over there. It's just been amazing to see what God's doing. And so for those of you that are interested in knowing what's happening, you know, a lot of Muslims are having visitations with Jesus. We had a team last year that went, and we were invited by the president of one of the Muslim nations, all right? He invited us to come and to hold services, and he invited other ambassadors, other leaders from other Muslim countries, so they could come see what a Christian service would look like in a Muslim country. And so he told us, he said, all of the eyes of the Muslim world would be watching your meetings. Well, we didn't know exactly what that meant, but we knew that must be important. And so the first meeting that we held, the building filled up. We had Secret Service, military protection that were guarding us, you know, 24/7 throughout the week. The government ensured that we had military protection wherever we went. And so that first service, the gospel was preached, and before the end of the service, leaders, ambassadors, diplomats, from other Muslim countries, the ambassador to Libya, he came forward and said, you have an open invitation to Libya. The ambassador to Saudi Arabia came forward and said, you have an open invitation to Saudi Arabia. We want Christianity in our country, right? And so it was about 8 or 10 ambassadors that were there in that first meeting alone. And just like that, we have open invitations to all these Muslim countries, okay? Now this, I'm blessed because I get to step into this kind of thing, but for the missionaries that have been serving there for 30 years, they're like, wow, we have never seen anything kind of like this. But that just kind of shows you that the season that we're in, it's a season of harvest. I mean, I'll believe that. It's a season of harvest. Everybody say harvest.
Harvest.
Say great harvest.
Great harvest.
It's a season of acceleration. And so we came back from that meeting, and then all of a sudden COVID hit. And then I got a call from a guy from the Egyptian parliament, and he got my number, and he said, can we meet? And so we met in Washington, D.C., and so he began to share his heart, began to share some things with me, and then that led to me attending a government meeting for the United States where I was able to share with members of our government what's happening in the Muslim world from my own experience. At first, they didn't really believe me, you know, but I got to share some things, and I said, you know, I think the Muslim world is ready for a number of different things. The Muslim leaders are open, and I said, you know, there's a new consciousness over there, and they're, you know, they're listening, but, you know, here, who am I? I'm just a guy who's a missionary. And so I told him, I said, listen, all the business leaders, all the government leaders, they want to do business with America. They want Christianity. You know, and even our government leaders just could not fathom that. All right. And so over time, the Lord has just ordered my steps until last August. I got a call from our government. All right. I can't say who. And but that put me on a fast track, and they asked me to help co-write a business plan between the United States and some Muslim countries. And so this business plan has been going on. It's been in the process of, you know, and then most of you might remember President Trump also brokered a deal, the Abraham Accords, between Israel and then several Islamic countries. And as soon as he did that, then there were about seven other Islamic countries that wanted to join in. And so there's other groups that are, such as myself, that are working on the United States having agreements with Muslim countries. And it's all about this. The United States will promise you economic prosperity. We will give you access to business contracts, business agreements. You'll have access to business schools, entrepreneur schools, Silicon Valley, you name it. It's all for you to prosper economically. But in exchange, you're going to have to open your doors wide to Christianity. And what I'm telling you tonight is that is a game changer. All the atheist countries, all the Islamic countries that have been closed off for hundreds of years, all right? All of them are ready. They come to the conclusion, we can't trust China because we know China will take us over. Can't trust Russia because we know Russia will take us over. And even though as Muslims we were raised to hate Americans, we realize that America is good. And America keeps its word. And America will never take us over. And if we're going to prosper in the future, we're going to need America's help to prosper. And frankly, we want Christianity just like America has Christianity. Can we give it up for Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. And so what is about to happen over the next several months and several years is that the Islamic countries, just for one, are the Islamic curtain is falling, all right? There are Muslim leaders that are having visitations with Jesus. They've shared those visitations with me. I mean, Jesus is appearing to them. Jesus is showing them that in their nation, it's just a matter of time where all those Muslims will be converting to Christianity, that Christians will be marching in their streets saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, okay? All right. And so I've been in government meetings too that even our government leaders have had visitations with Jesus. I was in one meeting with Mike Pompeo. He shared how Jesus came into his prayer closet. And Jesus showed him what to do about the human rights issue around the world. Boy, when I was listening to that call, I was like, wow, our prayers are working. How many of y'all are praying for your leaders? All right? And so so what you see right now is not what you're going to see in 2 or 3 years from now. I promise you that. Because there is an awakening. There's a great move of God that's taking place, all right? and it's on a big scale. You know, in Isaiah chapter 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." How many of y'all are familiar with that passage? But then it goes on to say, "Kings," if I say kings, "kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising." And what's happening right now is we're seeing kings, we're seeing leaders. You know, the Egyptian parliament just voted in 40 new Christians. They had 40 Christians before, they now have 40 more Christians in their last elections, okay? Saudi Arabia, all right? Many dozens of members of the royal Saudi family have now accepted Jesus Christ. All right, I could go on and on and on, okay? And there's a movement in Iran, all right? There's an underground church, one of the fastest growing churches going on in Iran, okay? But, I mean, I could literally share with you so many different countries right now, Muslim countries, that there is a move of God, a move of the Spirit. And so what you see right now is not what it's going to be. I tell you what, but what's ahead is going to be so amazing. And so, you know, I've told the people this. I said, you know, I believe that 2020 will look back and it was probably the greatest year for the church. Now, that's kind of a radical statement to make. I'm not saying it was the greatest year for people, right? You know, I know in our own family, we certainly lost a few of our family members to the virus and, you know, some of the older ones. So I don't, you know, and I know people went through some different tests and trials and different things. But for the church had to make a choice. How are we going to deal with this, right? You know, are we essential or not? Right? All right. Yes, we are the church. We're essential. And see, as the church, many churches had to make decisions on how they were going to do service, how they were going to keep their doors open. And so churches moved outside. Churches got on technology, on Zoom, and, you know, all these different ways that they had never done church before. And so it probably was the best thing because it got the church outside our comfort zone. It got the church outside the four walls. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? And so all of this has been kind of a setup for this great harvest, this great move that we're getting ready to see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so I want to kind of share some things with you as I see what's happening. And I was also in an African summit 2 weeks ago with all the African leaders, okay? 28 African leaders, presidents, vice presidents, ambassadors, delegates, I mean, just different ones, okay? And it was just absolutely amazing to see. And so they're, you know, all these leaders of African countries, not only are they Christian, but all of them are pastors or apostles. They know the Word of God. They know how to pray. They know Scripture. They know how to present the gospel. All right. Not only are they Christians and pastors, but they own multiple businesses. All right. Here I am listening to the president of Nigeria. He's also a billionaire. Now, how do you become a billionaire in Nigeria? But all these pastors, business leaders, they grew up and they all shared how 20 years ago Reinhard Bonnke came to their country. How many of y'all are familiar with Reinhard Bonnke? All right, Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. You know what I mean? I mean, in Reinhard Bonnke traveled the continent of Africa, and he believed that every single person, every single soul was going to get saved in Africa, and so all of the fruit of his labor and his ministry. All right, and many of the leaders of African countries are saying we got born again under Reinhard Bonnke. You know, he planted the seed in the soil of our country. And this president of Nigeria said the day that our nation changed was 20 years ago when Reinhard Bonnke was invited to speak to the parliament of Nigeria. And 75% of the parliament at the time was Muslim. And so the Lord told him as he was walking the steps to speak at the platform to the parliament, he said, the Lord said, Reinhardt, altar call, not protocol. So he got up into that place and he began to preach the gospel to all the members of parliament. All right? And at the end of his preaching, he said, now who would not want to have Jesus in their life? Who would not want to have Jesus in their nation? Jesus is the only one that can change this nation. And all the leaders of the parliament stood up. They all accepted Jesus Christ. Come on now. And they all gave Reinhardt a standing ovation and they prayed that Jesus Christ would shake the nation of Nigeria. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. That leader, the president of Nigeria, said that was the moment, that was the day that our entire nation changed.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have so many friends of mine, God is sending them to kings. God is sending them to places where they're helping reconstruct constitutions for different countries and how God is using them to infiltrate and help different countries and help different leaders come to know Christ or to help bring change for their country. So see, the church is going to look so different. The church is going to look so different in the days ahead. And so if you have your place there in the book of Daniel, let's look in Daniel chapter 11. Let me get there. Give me just a second. Daniel chapter 11. Is this exciting?
Amen.
In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, one of my favorite scriptures of all time. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. I'm reading out of the New King James. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Let's all read that one more time. But the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. Now, if you look at this passage in other translations, it says this. The people who know their God shall stand firm in what they believe. The people who know their God shall take a firm stand. And this one says, and the people who know their God shall take action. Everybody say, take action. Say it one more time. Take action. So the people who know their God shall take action. All right, now go with me to Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, I'm going to go ahead and read it. In verse number 12, it says, therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then to return. And he called 10 of his servants, he delivered them 10 pounds, and said to them, do business or occupy until I come. Everybody say, occupy.
Occupy.
How many know that Jesus told us to occupy until he comes back? All right? Let me just kind of share a few things about the word occupy. The word occupy means to take up, to hold a place or a position. All right, an occupying army is one that an army that conquers and also controls the territory of a defeated enemy. Let me say that to you again. An army that occupies is one that conquers and controls the territory of a defeated enemy. All right. Now I'm going to give you one more word. The word ecclesia. Everybody say the ecclesia. For a long time, this word has been interpreted as the church, okay? But over time, it's actually changed its meaning. The word ecclesia from back in the Bible times actually meant this. It meant ones who are called out to vote. Ones that were called out to vote. Isn't that interesting? All right? And so the word ecclesia was used originally that when one nation conquered another one, then they would send a group or a delegation to that nation that they conquered, and that delegation would set up the rules for that new nation, all right? And they would determine what was going to be right and what was going to be wrong for that nation. All right, when you look at the word ecclesia, Jesus was referring to this when he said, whatever you refuse to allow on earth, heaven will refuse. All right, that scripture actually comes from this word that's being used, ecclesia. Okay, and so why am I saying all this is because the word ecclesia, the word for church, really meant ones who are called out of society to help shape their culture and change their culture. Ones who are called to vote, because not everybody was allowed to vote. Only a certain delegation of people who were chosen. And those who were chosen would determine what was going to be right and what was going to be wrong in the culture. All right? And so when you look at the original purpose, then you can see what Jesus was really saying as believers. Okay? I give you all authority. All right? I want you to occupy. I want you to take ground. I want you to put everything in subjection. I want you to be the ones who have a say in the affairs of man. I want you to be the ones who determine what is right and what is wrong, what's going to be and what's not going to be. That's what Jesus was really saying to the church. And so what I see coming is a church that's much different than the church that we have now. I see believers that are going to begin to have to take action. They're going to have to get mobilized. Hello. All right. We're going to have to start standing our ground. We're going to have to say no to transgender. No to homosexuality. Okay. We're going to see the church should be the strongest voice in the earth. Hello. Okay. The church should be the strongest voice in the earth. Why is it that the government has a stronger voice than us? Why is it that the CDC has a stronger voice than us? Or the gays and the transgenders and the homosexuals and all the different, you know, groups out there? Why is it that they seem to have a stronger voice? It's because if we don't have a voice, they're going to take the voice. And so what Daniel said, those who know their God will take action. Jesus said, hey, you occupy. You're the called out ones, and you're the ones who are determined what is right and what is wrong in the culture. How many of y'all are hearing this tonight? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I have a friend of mine who was on a plane to an eastern country. The Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to speak to the president of this country. He laughed. Yeah, right. How do I speak to the president? And then days later, he found himself speaking to the president. There was a man by the name of Bob Weiner years ago. Bob Weiner was all about obedience, like quick obedience. As you followed his ministry, everything was, if the Lord said it, he was going to be quick to obey it. And so one day, the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to write a new Russian constitution. I want you to write a new Russian constitution. He's like, Lord, I've never been to Russia. God says, that's not what I asked. I said, I want you to write a new Russian constitution. So he told his staff, the Lord said, we're going to write a new Russian constitution. All right. And so they did. They looked at the old. They came up with a new Russian constitution. And so he carried that around for years. And he kept saying, Lord, well, I thought you told me to write. The Lord says, yeah, you just wait for the time. All right. And so one day he found himself in Vienna, Austria, staying in a hotel. And while he was staying in that hotel, he heard all this parade music and pomp and you know, out the window of the hotel on the streets, you know, people were, you know, playing instruments, and there was a whole parade that was going through town. So he went running down to the lobby of the hotel, and he asked someone, he said, what's going on here? Is this a parade? And they said, oh, Boris Yeltsin is in town. So he went running back up, got his Russian constitution, put it right here in his pocket, and so he came down to the lobby of the hotel, and sure enough, as he was standing there, the Russian Secret Service came into the hotel lobby. They filled up the lobby, and he's just standing there, and Boris Yeltsin walks straight in the door, all right, and stops, and he looks around. All right, and then he heads right to Bob Weiner. All right, Bob pulls out the Russian Constitution, and Boris Yeltsin says, you have something for me, sir? Yes, I do. And he handed him the Russian Constitution. All right, and Boris Yeltsin turned around and walked out the door. See, you never know where you might find yourself or what God has asking you to do. But what I'm saying to you now is I'm doing things I never imagined. I'm in places where how did I get here? Right? So I was in Egypt, okay, just a few months ago now. Are we on Facebook or anything? All right. So we had a meeting with some of the cabinet members, all right? They told us in advance, listen, don't expect anything. This is just simply a meeting of introduction. So Muslim leaders don't agree to anything until like the third or fourth meeting if you make it that far. The second thing they said, you're not allowed to speak unless you request to speak. Okay. The third thing is no shaking of hands. All right, everything's a nod. But when they reach out to shake your hand, that means you're accepted. Okay? All right, so you got the rules. All right, so don't expect anything. Just a meeting of introduction. Don't say anything unless you're requested to speak or you're called on. And no shaking of hands. Okay. So we went into this meeting, and we waited for them to introduce themselves and ask us to speak, and we introduced ourselves, and there wasn't a whole lot of dialogue going on at first. But what I'll tell you is that all of a sudden another person came into the room, and the entire room changed. God sent this person. This person was anointed. This person gave us unbelievable favor. And when this person walked into the room and introduced themselves and said, I heard that you guys were here and I knew that I needed to meet with you, they had changed all their meetings around just because they heard that we were there. This person came and said, I know why you're really here. And that person began to completely take over the meeting. And every question that we wanted to ask President Sisi was answered. Every question that we could ever think of that we had ever wanted to do or have approval to do was completely answered. And while we were sitting there, this person simply said, I'll give you anything that you want. Next time you travel here, you will stay in our hotels. You will use our drivers. We will take care of you. Your meals will be provided. You have complete military protection. Okay. You have complete favor. And not only that, we consider you family. And not only family, but now we consider you, because you love our country and because we know what you want to do in our country, we consider you part of our inner circle.
Praise God.
Two more. The three of us literally sat there stunned because of the favor. And later, as we left that meeting, we got into the taxi, and I said, "Who was that person?" They said, "Oh, that person's a member of OPEC. Person is the wealthiest person in the entire world. You're not going to find that person on Forbes magazine, because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions or more than Elon Musk. They have so much influence that whatever they say, the president will do. The parliament will do. And guess what? They're a spirit-filled Christian living in a Muslim world. Hallelujah. I really didn't plan on sharing any of that. But see, you just don't know where you might find yourself. And we had scheduled to meet with the president, but the president of Egypt had to meet with Netanyahu. Netanyahu was staying right across from us, okay? And so, you know, I'm just kind of amazed at what's happening right now around the world, okay? And so, how many of y'all believe in for America? How many of y'all believe in for America, all right, from changes in America, okay? And so, it's really time for the church to rise up. It's time for us to take action, all right? And in fact, let's look here in Hebrews chapter 11. Most of us know Hebrews chapter 11, that Faith Hall of Fame. Wonderful Faith Hall of Fame about Abraham and Noah and all those faith heroes. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Faith heroes but I want you to see something else in this passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. Let me find it there. Says by, in what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, everybody say faith, subdued what? What did they do? They subdued kingdoms. How do you do that? By occupying. By taking action. By being the light. By being the salt.
Hallelujah.
By standing firm.
Yes,
by standing up. All right, by coming out to vote. Coming out to say, you know what? This is what we will allow, and this is what we will not allow. And so it says that these ones, they what? Subdued kingdoms. They conquered kingdoms. What are we called to do right now? All right? It's all about kingdom. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom. All right? And it's a developing a kingdom mindset. Okay? See, the Lord really had to change my thinking on some of these things because I was like, Lord, how could I stand in front of a leader? How could I be a voice like that? And you know, the Lord said, well, look in my word, Matthew chapter 10. Part of the anointing in Matthew 10, he says, you know, go and cast out unclean spirits. You know, I give you authority, power, all these different things over unclean spirits to heal all manner of sickness and disease. But then as you keep looking down the chapter, it says, and when you stand before kings. Not if. But see, that's the territory that the church hasn't gone into yet. Right? Because we've looked at things like, okay, the church is here, but then the world is over there. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you stand before men, when you stand before kings, your gift will make room for you. All right? So when you stand in those places where the world stands, guess what? I'm going to give you a voice, and I'm going to give you the words to say.
Amen.
All right? Come on now. And it's going to help shape, and it's going to help change the culture. Hallelujah. All right? And so that's what's coming right now. Is that God is going to send just all of his kingdom influencers, all of his called out ones, he's going to send them into places of business, places of education, come on now, in political offices, hello. He's going to send them into all these places, right? Because we're to influence the world, not the world influence us. So we're going to bring the kingdom where they are. All right, and the kingdom is going to manifest in those places. And so we see by faith, what do these ones do? They conquered kingdoms. They took over kingdoms. All right. And then what does it say? It says that they worked righteousness, or it other translation says it, they administered justice. So they not only took over a new territory, a new kingdom, but then they administered justice. Let justice be served. Let things that have been wrong be made right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. So right now, African nations are making business deals with America. And it's all over, not just business, but also Christianity. We're going to see Christianity being used as a vehicle, as a platform in business and commerce, okay? You know, people ask me a lot of times, is there anything significant about Egypt? Well, if you find Isaiah chapter 19, it's all about Egypt in the last days. So if you want to see what God's going to do in Egypt, Egypt is the key to the Middle East, all right? As Egypt goes, so goes the Middle East. And so as you listen to the news, as you hear things, keep your eyes on Egypt, okay? Because they're the major player. And so what's so important about Egypt? Well, number one, God said it was. He says, in the last days, I'm going to move swiftly into Egypt. Egypt will be mine. Egypt is my people, says the Lord. And Egypt will become one with Israel and one with Syria. And if you look in that passage, it says that there's a highway that will go from Egypt to Assyria, in those people, they will worship my name together. Okay, that highway is being built right now by President Sisi. About 3 or 4 years ago, he hired the Christians who had been persecuted, the Christians that were in the garbage dumps. He brought them out of the garbage dumps, built them high-rise flats, apartments, hundreds and hundreds of brand new apartments that scan for miles, okay? And all the Christians now live in their own place where they had been persecuted before, where they had no running water. I mean, they lived in the garbage and they had to rummage through the garbage every day just to survive. Now all of them, he's released all of them. They now have their place, brand new place to live, running water, electricity. I mean, beautiful. Beautiful housing, okay? Not only that, when he moved them into the housing, then he hired them and he paid them, and now they're the ones that he pays to build the highway that we see in Isaiah 19. Amen. There's a highway that goes from Egypt to Syria.
Yep.
All right. So Egypt, for other reasons, though, Egyptian Arabic is the only accepted Arabic in all the Muslim world. Egyptian Arabic. So you can go into Saudi Arabia, you can go to Yemen, you can go to all these places. They have other dialects of Arabic, but it's not, people can't understand it. But when someone speaks Egyptian Arabic, it can be understood in every single nation. Secondly, all the education centers in Egypt. All the teachers are trained in Egypt. So every teacher that it works throughout the Middle East or any Islamic country always is trained in Egypt. Interesting, huh? All the theater, all the film industry is Egyptian actors. Everything centers in Egypt. Not only that, but then all the business, all the commerce that goes into all the Middle East comes from Egypt. Egypt is the hub. It's the center point. That's why they're building that highway, so it will extend. All right, and there'll be more business, there'll be more commerce, all right, that comes. Okay? But don't you think that God knew all that? God looked ahead and he saw our day and time and said, yep, Egypt's just going to be the big player. Not only that, but Egypt has the military. So I'm just giving you a few reasons why Egypt is important. But it says, in that day, Egypt will call upon my name and I will be known in Egypt. Hallelujah. In Egypt, in Syria, in Israel, will come and worship my name together. A blessing in the midst of the earth. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give it up. Let's give it up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this, Isaiah chapter 2. Y'all getting excited a little bit? Giving you a little history lesson, I guess, or a little last days. So Isaiah chapter 2, as soon as my iPad turns back on, Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, everybody say the mountain of the Lord's house, or we could say God's presence, it shall come to pass in the last days that God's presence, or the mountain of the Lord's house, shall be established on top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. If y'all are familiar with the seven different mountains of influence, the media mountain, education, religion, family, business, they're referred to as the seven different spheres, the seven different mountains of influence, okay, for culture, for society, all right? So this is what's saying is it's in the last days that God's house is going to be established upon all the seven mountains. So God's house will be established upon the media mountain. The media mountain, that ought to give you a shout tonight, all right? How about some new media? How about some Christian media? How about some truth-telling media? Okay. All right. So the media is about ready to change. All right. In fact, we already see, glimpses of that, right? Different platforms and different ones that are coming forth. All right. So the media mountain, okay. How about the education? Think God could enter the education? He could change things? How about the schools and the universities? All the universities that were dedicated for the gospel hundreds of years ago. Come on now. Can God invade the universities? I mean, how many of y'all want to see a revival with our young people and on the universities with salvations, miracles, signs, and wonders? Hallelujah. Our young people are ready. Our young people are hungry. All right. I go to the universities all the time and preach the gospel and pray for the sick and show them the power of God. And so how about the business world? Yeah, the business world is business deals and commerce. I mean, all of that is going to be to help reach the gospel, preach the gospel, reach people, all right, bring in Christianity, a lot of different things, okay? How about the family? Would y'all like to see some families restored?
Yes.
Family members coming back to Christ, okay? All right, well, the mountain of the Lord's house, God's presence is going to be established upon families again. Hallelujah. This is in the last days. In the last days. This is what God's going to do, okay? So we have a lot to look forward to in the next couple years. I mean, this decade is going to be like no other decade, all right? I mean, things are going to be restored. Things are going to be completely reborn, all right? I said to the folks yesterday, America is being reborn, okay? The church is even being reborn in a certain way. I mean, I believe that what's going to happen to the church is that there's going to be new ways, brand new ways of doing things that we've never done before, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And it's almost like stepping into a new wineskin. The church is going to step into almost like a new wineskin, all right? I mean, thank God for the old, but hey, guess what? The better, the new is better, right? Hallelujah. Amen. So these seven mountains are going to be turned over to the Lord. Does that excite you in the least? Hallelujah. But see, as the church, we have to stand up and begin to affect our culture. We have to have a stronger voice. I had a guy that came to me the other day, and he said, you know, it really bothers me. I've been in the Catholic Church, and I went to my Catholic priest, and I said, what are you guys going to do about all these priests that have had these men molesting these young boys? Seems like all you guys do is sweep it under the carpet. And the priest said, oh, come on, you're just overreacting. I mean, this happens everywhere. I mean, it happens in the school system. It happens in organizations like the Boy Scouts. I mean, it happens. And he said, is that the kind of reaction that I'm going to get from a priest? I mean, you got to be kidding. That doesn't bother you any? I mean, yeah, you're a priest and you don't have kids. But at least think about it. The average person should at least be really, really livid, really upset about what's happening with young boys in with a denomination that just wants to sweep things under the carpet as if nothing happened, and there's no recourse for the priests. The priests get off scot-free. So he said, What can I do? I said, you can be a voice. You can be a voice. I said, I had a friend of mine a couple years ago. Something was under her skin. It was the whole abortion issue. And she said, Brian, what can I do? I said, hey, become a voice. Get active. Get involved. She got involved, and now she's on regional meetings on abortion, you know, telling people the truth, showing people, you know, hey, this is wrong. And God is now using her to be that voice to other single, you know, pregnant, you know, women in different things. You know, I was with John Maxwell just a few weeks ago. Some of y'all know who John Maxwell is with leadership. And this is what John Maxwell said. He said, when I first started, I started as a pastor. And I didn't know that. He said, actually, my church grew so fast, it was one of the top 10 churches in America. I was like, wow, okay. And he said, this is what I told people to do. He said, I told people, I said, I'm gonna tell you how to live. I'm gonna tell you how to make a difference. He said this, I taught my people, listen, if you'll do this one thing every day, it'll make a world of difference. How many of y'all like to have a world of difference? How many of y'all like to make a difference in somebody's life? He said, if you do this one thing, you'll make a difference. And he said, this is the one thing I taught all my people. Every day, the one thing that I want you to do is go add value to somebody else. So go reach someone else, encourage them, pray for them. Come on, build them up. Say, you look really nice. Are you having a good day? In other words, you start being positive with people and you start adding value to their life. He said, if you start doing that one thing every single day, then people will begin to listen to you because you'll gain more influence with people if you do that one thing every single day. He said, to me, that was making disciples. Go and make disciples. So I told my congregation, go add value every day to somebody. So find someone, say, I'm going to add value to their life today. Maybe they're going through a difficult time. Maybe they need a friend. Maybe they feel isolated or depressed or lonely. But you go there and you add value to their life. And he said, you start doing that, you start making a disciple. Come on. You start bringing a change. You start adding influence into your sphere, whether it's business or home or community, whatever it is. And he said, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Can you imagine that if the whole church, the body of Christ as a whole, you know, some of us today say, you know, well, I mean, I don't know how to write a business plan. I didn't either. I don't know. I don't necessarily see myself in front of, I didn't either. But one thing that we all can do in common is we can each day make it a point on purpose to add value to somebody else around us. How many of y'all are in agreement with that? So as I close tonight, I'm going to give you 4 points. 4 points. As we begin to see the church rise up. Number one, age is no barrier, no excuse for this season. Age is no barrier, age is no excuse for this season. Let's face it. Exodus 7 verse 10 says, Moses was 80, Joshua was 83 when they appeared before Pharaoh. Moses and Joshua were just getting started when they were 80 and 83. Everybody say, age is no barrier, is no excuse in this season. How many of y'all want to maximize the season? Number two, when God tells you to do something, you can do it. You can do it. If something seems good to you to do, just step out and do it. When you see how the Apostle Paul operated, he was like, it just seemed good to me to go over here and to do this. You don't need a word, an audible word from the Lord. But if you have something in your heart that seems good for you to do, just step out and do it. You ever read the book Love Does by Bob Goff? He told his kids, we're gonna write hundreds of letters to all the world leaders and see what happens. The majority of them responded. It's a cool book on Love Does. And he just started reaching out to all these leaders all over the world. And they invited him and their family to come and visit. And then they called later and said, hey, can we come to America to your house? We just want to get away from... Fascinating. Just because they decided to do something that seemed to be good. Just love on world leaders. And told them that God loves them and we love you too. And the response was overwhelming. They now still share vacations together. Some kings and sheiks of countries. So whenever God prompts you, whenever God puts something in your heart, just do it. Just do it. All right? Number three, everything is going to another level in this season. Everything is going to new levels. I mean, new levels of worship, new levels of prayer, new levels of commitment, new levels of giving. But I tell you what, new levels of gifts. Gifts. New levels of gifts. Amen. Gifts that have been dormant. Gifts that will be stirred up. All right? How many of y'all believe that you got some gifts? Right? Yes. Time for some gifts to be stirred up. Right? New levels of using your gifts. And number four is this. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready for when God calls and be ready to step out into new areas. It's time that we take new territory, new ground, new areas. Let's step out into the things of God. How many of y'all believe that tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand on your feet if you would. You know, in 2004, the Lord challenged my wife and I. At the time, we were going to about two nations a year. And the Lord said, I want you to go to a different nation every other month. He was calling us to a new level. And the Lord took me to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. He says, ask me for the nations. Ask me for the nations. And for a long time, I meditated on that, and I started asking God for the nations. I just would get a map and say, okay, God, I ask you for this nation. I pray for that nation. Lord, this other nation over here, this nation needs you. I pray for that nation. I pray for the leaders in that nation. I ask you for that nation. May the gospel go forth in that nation, all right? And so I just started asking God for nations because he said, ask me. And I realized at the time, I was only asking for my needs. But the Lord says, yeah, but what about my kingdom? Hallelujah. What about my kingdom? There shall be no end to the increase of my kingdom. So I had to take on a kingdom mindset. So I said, okay, I'm going to make this real fun now. I'm going to get out that map and I'm going to keep asking God for nations. Asking God for nations. So I feel this tonight. I know we've gone on a little bit. But two things. Number one is, how many of y'all will commit yourself to do whatever God tells you to do for this season? Yes. How many of y'all want to bear fruit, more fruit than any other time in your life? You want to finish strong? Come on now. Because the harvest is here. The harvest is ready. And you want to be right smack dab in the perfect will of God. You're going to be where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. You don't want to miss anything for this final moment, right? How many of y'all in agreement with that? Well, let's go before the Lord. Let's ask. Let's just surrender. Let's just consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Say this when they say, Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. I surrender my life to you. I commit my ways to you. I ask you to put me into the perfect will,
into
your perfect plans
that you have
for my life,
for this season.
I don't want to miss it,
but
I want to be right in the middle of it.
I want to
bear fruit,
more fruit
than I ever have before.
I want to
see cities shaken.
I want to
see nations shaken.
I want to
see this great harvest
coming
into the kingdom.
So Lord,
here I am.
Send me
as your ambassador,
as your
laborer
into
the harvest fields.
Open
doors.
Bring
about divine appointments
so
that I can be
who
you want me to be
and do
what you
want me to do.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's give it up for
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Thank you,
Jesus.
So remember,
age is no barrier.
The second
thing I want you to do tonight
is ask
for a nation.
Get with
God.
Let a nation
be birthed
in your heart.
And start
standing in the gap,
interceding
for that
nation.
Because he said,
ask me and I
will give you
the nations
and
the uttermost
parts of the
earth
for your
possession.
How many of y'all
will do that tonight?
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. Let's give it up.
Let's give it up one
more time to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.